Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, February 27th, 2025. I have your host, James, here. We're joined right now by our great friend, Janelle Weir, horticultural educator with UW-Madison Extension. Janelle, I've been so excited all week for this interview, but as excited as I am, my father is much more excited. I joke all the time, and I mention this in jest a little bit, but I really do learn whenever you join us. My father, though, he writes stuff down. Like, he's got notes from you from, like, years ago, especially when it comes to working out in the yard and some of that. You really opened him up to a lot of those things. No Mow May, some of these things. Like, he wouldn't hear me out, but he listened to you. So let's educate, let's have some fun, and get into a great one today, pruning woody ornaments. This is an interesting topic.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of people get nervous when they are thinking about pruning any sort of woody plants. So I'm talking your trees and your shrubs, right? People get nervous, and, you know, I gotta say, I'm right there with them. Mm. So I was really, in another lifetime, I was a greenhouse manager at a local garden center. And I had some science background from college, but that's where I really cut my teeth in learning about annuals, perennials, vegetables, you know, all sorts of plants. But an area where I didn't have responsibility or maybe accountability was the having a knowledge base in the woodies. So for a long time, I've kind of shied on, you know, learning about them and then also taking what I've learned and experimenting in my own yard.
Ooh.
So, yeah, so I totally appreciate people's reservations when it comes to pruning and, like, just not really sure, you know, what you need, you know, what you should be doing, right? But the information really isn't that difficult to understand. And I think once you really start to, once you start to just get out there with the pruners, when you know when to prune, when you know the appropriate techniques, it becomes a whole lot less scary.
And that seems like a great place to start, Janelle. So why prune? Why would you do something like this?
Yeah. So, yeah, there's a handful of really good reasons. So number one, you know, if we've got a really thick, I'm thinking in particular shrubs, right? But it's going to be true for trees too. But when we've got your shrubs, picture like a lilac, right? You know, if it gets really thick and overgrown, it's going to be more susceptible to your septoria disease or powdery mildew. And this isn't true just for lilacs. It's going to be true for, you know, many of your woody ornamentals. You want to prune because you're going to reduce insect and disease pressures. Another reason why you'd want to prune is just simply to maintain the shape of the plant. Perhaps it's growing a little bit larger than what you want it to be, right? So a lot of times there's some different types of pruning techniques that can help maintain the size as well as the shape of the shape of the plant. Another reason that comes to mind is, you know, and here I'm thinking about that overgrown lilac again, right? We're going to use that as an example, but this could apply to all sorts of other plants. You know, a lot of times you want to prune to either maybe it's not flowering as nice as it used to, and doing a nice pruning is going to invigorate either your flowers or fruits in turn, right? Also, a lot of times we're growing plants. By pruning, you're going to increase the vigor of the plant. So I'm kind of thinking in particular dogwoods, right? Red twig dogwoods. And as those canes get older, they're not that beautiful red color anymore. They tend to kind of turn gray, right? Yeah. But if you want that beautiful winter interest of the red color on those twigs, you're going to want to prune out those older canes every few years. So yeah, a lot of really good reasons why we want to prune. Oh, one other one comes to mind too. It's just simply easier to prune in the winter when you don't have leaves covering up. It's easier to see the structure.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So A lot of good reasons. Yeah.
And as far as now being a good time to do this, you touched on that right there.
Yeah.
That's a good part of this.
Right. Yep. The other reason is everything's dormant right now, right? So our trees and our shrubs are dormant, but guess who else is dormant? the insects and the diseases, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So when we're pruning, we're literally cutting a wound into the plant, right? Mm. If everything's dormant, then there's less of a risk of the plant becoming infected right away. As everything wakes up in the spring and the plant comes out of its dormancy, it's going to be able to seal up that wound pretty quickly.
Very interesting. Oh, cool. I've seen that. Again, learning. I'm learning right here. that's awesome. I didn't understand that. As far as things not to prune, are there certain things that we should stay away from? Oak and elm and things like that?
So right now is really the very, 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 very best time. I mentioned, you know, with diseases and insects, you know, dormant pruning is really preferred. You know, for all of your woody ornamentals, it becomes incredibly serious when we're talking about elms or oaks. We really want to prune before the temperatures reach 50 degrees. And the reason why is oaks are susceptible to oak wilt. The elms that we have left, those are susceptible to Dutch elm disease. And so we really, and one of the biggest vectors or ways of transmission for these trees to get those diseases is these sneaky little beetles, right? And those beetles are only active when the temperatures are above 50 degrees. So, and there have been studies done where on oaks in particular, they wanted to see, you know, how quickly the beetles would become active and infect an oak if they, you know, if one, you know, was injured inside the forest. And so they cut, and they did multiples of these, but they cut an oak, and what they found is it only took the beetles 10 minutes to find the wound on the oak. Yeah. So if they're around, they're going to find it, and they're going to find it pretty darn quickly. Hmm. So the very best time, if you have any sort of pruning that you need to do to oaks or elms, go ahead and get that done. You know, really, I like to shoot for St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm. That's a great note. And I think helps a lot of people with this when you give it a date like that and something to kind of keep in mind when it's getting closer to that. What was it about St. Patrick's? Oh, yeah, that. And, you know, that's a good note.
And, you know, that I mean, I'm you know, mentioning St. Pat's just because it's March 17th and St. Pat's is an easy day to remember.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not a hard and fast. You have to get out there by, you know, March 17th. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, keep in mind with those temperatures.
Hey, if you got an anniversary around that time, might be a good way to remember the anniversary and this. I mean, you mentioned lilacs before. Let's get a little bit into spring flowering and touch on that.
Yeah, so the general rule of thumb when it comes to pruning plants is going to be prune them when they're dormant. But if you've got something that flowers pretty early in the season, so that's going to be your forsythias. Those are those shrubs that become that beautiful. They're like the very first things to bloom in the spring. They're beautiful yellow shrubs. So forsythias, lilacs, mock oranges, viburnums, choke cherries, all of those. It's actually probably a pretty good idea if you don't want to miss out on the flowers to go ahead and wait until they're done blooming and then prune them immediately after. So that's going to be sometime in June, right? What we don't want to do is wait until July to prune because they bloom on that wood that's going to grow from, say, mid-June throughout the rest of the growing season. That's when where it's going to set its buds. So you want to prune just as quickly as you can after they're done flowering. Hmm. When it comes to summer flowering shrubs, those you want to go ahead and prune now. They are going to set the buds in the spring, and then the flowering happens later on in the season. So even if you prune right now, you're not pruning away this year's flowers. Okay. So if you're curious, what are those types of plants? That's going to be most of your hydrangeas, your roses, Japanese spirea, your rose of Sharon's, smoke bushes, and potentillas.
Mm-hmm. And as far as red twig, dogwood, shrub willows, some of that?
Yeah, so these are the ones I mentioned before that, you know, maybe it's not so much for the flowering that we're pruning them, but we want to prune them to maintain that nice vigor to them, right? Mm-hmm. And so those, you can prune all of them by reducing the entire shrub. You're going to take out 30% of it, and you're going to remove the canes all the way down to the ground level. Shoot for somewhere between 4 and 10 inches above the soil, right? So you're taking the entire cane out. Only a third of them, though, and start with the very oldest ones first. So at the beginning of our conversation, I mentioned, you know, I've been slowly starting to get a little bit more bold in my landscape. I've got a shrub in my yard, and, you know, it's kind of, I'm just going to go on a tangent for a second.
Please.
So my house was built in 1931. I live in pretty close to campus in Stevens Point. And I found out that my house and my neighbor's house was built by two sisters. And I think I've mentioned this in the past, in this shrub that I, or this hedge that I've got. I've got a hedge that separates the two of us. And I'm not sure who planted it, you know, because the house had, besides the original owner, it's had multiple owners since before we bought it. But I've always wondered who planted that hedge, because it has got a good 2-inch thorns on it. Yeah, so I wonder, you know, like, how is that relationship between the sisters?
Yes, yeah, exactly. First thing I thought of, yeah, anybody with a sibling, immediately, that's so funny. Some beautiful houses over there, too, by the way, for the history of that. And I hadn't thought much about, like, I've looked at those houses as long as I've lived over here. But obviously some of the plant life over there, too, would have some age to it.
Oh, absolutely.
Some beautiful history to it. That's really cool.
So I have been... you know, that hedge has been getting kind of, it clearly needed some rejuvenation. And so for the past 2 years, this year's year number three, in fact, I've been thinking that the temperature's just about right for me to go ahead and do my yearly pruning. What I've been doing with this hedge is I've been taking out one third of the canes, one third of the oldest canes every year. And what that has done, it has allowed new growth to generate from below. As I'm taking out those canes, those older canes, it's eliminating all of the growth at the top of the hedge. And now I've got better light penetration all the way down in the center of those of that hedge. So I'm getting all of this new growth coming up. Now, don't get me wrong, it's a little bit of a reset, right? I mean, my shrubs used to be about darn near or about as tall as me, which might sound kind of tall, but the listening audience doesn't know how short I am. All of that said, as I've been doing this over the past few years, I have taken out the much of the height, you know, and I will eventually get that height back as I let that undergrowth slowly, you know, build its way up. So, you know, the bad side of this, you know, doing this process is I've taken out a bit of the height. Luckily, I've got a good relationship with the person that lives in that house now, so we don't need to have the hedge. I'm not so, you know, I'm not really sold on the thorns, but it's been there for a while, so we're going to let it stay.
That's cool. That's very cool. And a great story. Thank you for sharing that, Janelle.
So all of that to say is, anytime that you're dealing with some of those, like the dogwood or your shrub willows, you're going to want to take them out only a third at the time. And that kind of goes back to, there's a general rule when we're talking about plants that you want to take off about, anytime you're pruning, you want to take off about a third of the plant at a time. That's even true for mowing your grass. When you're mowing your grass, you only want to take off one third of the blade, right? So this rule of one thirds, it's going to be true. You're going to see that come up a lot when you're dealing with plants.
It helps for people, I think, to give that.
And then I mentioned getting rid of those older stems, partly for invigorating, but also those are the ones that are going to be the most susceptible to diseases. What I have found in my little adventures the past couple of years in my hedge is some of the canes that I'm removing, I'm realizing, oh, it's a good thing that I'm doing that, because I'm seeing that there is some disease in the center of the stems.
How about fruit trees? Let's move on to those.
So for fruit trees, you just want to make sure that you're removing any dead, diseased or broken branches. And you can do that year round, okay? When it comes to pruning for shape, we want to make sure, or pruning for the health of the tree, you really want to make sure that you're removing this time of year. You want to make sure that you're removing any water sprouts, and those water sprouts are going to be those really vigorous upright shoots. They're the ones that go just straight vertical. All of those are competing with the trunk or the main branches for light, so go ahead and get rid of them. They're not really doing any, I mean, they're doing some photosynthesis, but they're not good for the health of the tree. Same idea, get rid of the suckers at the base of the tree. And then take a step back. You know, this is why now is a great time too, is because you don't have any leaves blocking your view. Take a look at it and see, do you see any branches that are crisscrossed or any branches that are starting to grow towards the trunk of the tree? If you have any of those branches, go ahead and get them pruned out too.
And as far as bleeders and those go, I want to get into that too with you.
Yeah, so some trees just bleed, right? When you, especially this time of year, the sap is flowing freely. If you do prune, say, a maple, box elder, a butternut, a birch, walnut, or any of their relatives, if you prune them, what you may find is all of a sudden it's going to start flowing the sap. Don't worry. It's unsightly, but it's not unhealthy. It's not going to harm the tree. If you can't stand the sight of all of that sap flowing, though, no worries. You can go ahead and wait until after the leaves have fully expanded. So they've broken dormancy, leaves have fully expanded, but it's still really, really early in the season. You can wait until then to go ahead and prune.
And maples, box elder, similar thing as far as this went?
Yep. All of their relatives. They're all going to be bleeders. Just if you see it, don't freak out.
And, you know, Janelle, you've done a great job at this throughout the whole conversation, but just kind of zoning in on tips for pruning and touching on that a little bit too.
You know, it's really important to disinfect those pruning tools. And you want to do it with, you know, either a 70% rubbing alcohol or a disinfectant solution like Lysol. Make sure that you're cleaning those tools in between each cut. So don't, you know, prune the entire lilac and then clean. You're pruning in between cuts, because if you do have a disease and you go and you cut, you're just spreading that disease amongst your entire plant. Make sure all of those pruning tools are clean and sharp. And, you know, there's a kind of a old wisdom out there that people like to use pruning tars or pruning paints. They're not necessary and they could actually harm your tree. The only time that we recommend using pruning paints or pruning tars is if, let's say, we've got a really bad storm that comes in the middle of summer and your oak has some broken branches. In that case, go ahead, clean up that cut and then prune that, or you paint that over. That's really the only case that we recommend that.
Interesting. Thank you. Janelle, we had some other things that we wanted to touch on real quick before we let you go as well.
Yeah, I've got some really cool upcoming programs. I'm super excited. We've got a workshop specifically for mung growers, and that's going to be April 26th in 2025. That's on a Saturday. It's from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. We have a full day planned for everyone. The location's going to be at the Health Department. That's in the River Rock Building. That's on West Jackson Street, 111 West Jackson Street, on the third floor here in Wisconsin Rapids. Now, the reasons why I'm so excited about this, the USDA and FSA is going to be coming and talking about resources, including grant opportunities for small farmers that mung growers, you know, absolutely can and should be taking advantage of. We're going to have the NRSC come and share some of their resources. I'm going to be talking about pest management and also sharing some other extension resources. And then my colleague from Extension, Gao Nu Tao, will be sharing a little bit about farm leases, an intro to farm lease, and then as well as record keeping, because that record keeping is so essential in the being eligible for the grants, right? So it's really an exciting full day. I'm really excited about this.
That's again a great opportunity.
That's going to be April 26th. You can call down to the Extension office here in Wood County if you've got any further questions.
And want to wrap up with a really fun one as well. Ask your gardener questions live. This is a really cool idea, Janelle.
This is so cool. So this is kind of, if you're familiar with NPR's or WPR's Garden Talk with Larry Mueller, it's kind of the same idea. So we've got some experts, like straight up experts from UW-Madison. And this is your opportunity to join them live in a webinar and ask your, you know, you get to play Stump the Chump. Ask them your really, really tricky questions.
That's a great opportunity. When you join us and certainly other members from Extension, we get to cover so much. But we know that people out there may have these gray area questions that you just don't have an opportunity or hear the information. Here is a opportunity where you're just, there's no middleman, there's nobody in between. It's not an AI you're asking. You're talking right straight to a live person.
Yes, yes. And so, you know, great. Like you got those say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this.
It's a great opportunity to be able to do that. A really good idea. I'm looking forward to that one. And that is, again, coming up on March 17th. And then real quickly, as we're wrapping up, Growing Healthy Plants, Basics in Plant Disease Management is also coming up in March.
This is another incredible opportunity, free opportunity. All of these events are free.
Yeah.
The free opportunity, this one's going to be March 26th, 6:30 to 8:30. Dr. Brian Huddleston will be sharing the basics of plant disease management, and he is really and truly the plant disease guru for the state of Wisconsin. So If you are really passionate about plants and you're confused about plant diseases, this is an incredible opportunity to learn from one of the premier people in plant diseases in our state.
We learn every time you're with us, Janelle. Another one of those check mark. You know, I learned today, and I love it, and I appreciate it so very much. If people have follow-up questions, would like to know more, how can they reach you?
Well, the easiest way to get a hold of me is just directly through email. So it's my first name dot last name. That's janelle.wehr at wisc.edu. Or you can give me a call over at the Extension office. Phone number there is 715-421-8440.
Nice.
And just leave a message. Tell them that you got a plant question, and they'll put you in touch with me.
Appreciate you, Janelle. Say hi to the staff over there for us. You have a great one. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you on the way here at WFHR.